Welcome to Outchurch Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, Terry J., the author of the books titled The Cowgirl Shaman Way, Intuitive Communication, The Physics of Mediumship, and we're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in these books. Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Terry, your background is so unique. Like, can you share a little bit about you and what led you to become like both like a shaman and an author of these amazing books?
Well, in 1990, I was doing a horseback therapy program with disabled kids. And I picked a kid up out of his wheelchair and put him on the back of one of my horses. And he looked at me and he said, "Ouch, I have a cramp in my hip." Well, that's pretty normal for a CP child. So I said, "Oh, sit this way. It'll take the cramp out." And he said, "Hey, you can hear me." It just didn't dawn on me at the time that he was completely nonverbal. And so we went about our business doing our horseback therapy. And him and I carried on a conversation. I was talking out loud. He was obviously talking telepathically. And it just wasn't clicking in that he wasn't talking out loud. I was just so tuned into him. And so when we were done, I took him off the horse and put him back in his wheelchair, and he went back to class, and the gal who was helping me said, "Boy, he's sure talking great." And I said, "Well, you know, he's very bright. Just because he has CP doesn't necessarily mean he has any cognitive issues." She said, "Terry, he didn't say a word he can't remember." And I mean, if I was a horse, I would have done a buck fart snort, because when they're spooked, they do all three of those things at one time. Anyway, I went into the classroom, and they had a pointer attached to his head, and he had typed out on his computer, "Horse lady can hear me." So I had confirmation, and then I stood there talking with him, really realizing that I was able to hear him telepathically. So when I went back outside and told the gal, she just very matter of fact said, "Well, you ought to learn to communicate with the horses, because all animals are telepathic." And I just thought, okay, well, that's something I want to do. I had no clue what I was getting into. And just one thing's led to another, and now I know there's no limits to the kinds of information that you can get from the universe.
Yeah, and you know, raising intuition as a skill isn't common. What first inspired you to teach others via your boot camps and books?
Well, early on, I just thought, all right, what are you doing? You're a teacher. I've been teaching since I was 16, teaching writing and things. So I always like to dissect it and think, what am I doing? How am I doing this? And I had some guidance from some energy healers that was very helpful. And I just thought, all right, this is what I do. And then I do that. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, this is not something that is special or gifts. Obviously, I developed it. You know, I was in my late 30s when this happened. And so one thing's led to another, and I just thought, I got to teach people how to do this because it'll really help them with their life, you know?
Yeah, and your book outlines 7 intuitive steps. How did you decide on those, and which one often surprised, like, new readers?
I think, you know, doing 7 steps is probably just a very well-known number of steps in a process. And I broke it down and really thought, yeah, I got 7 steps. And I think grounding is the biggest challenging part about it, and getting out of your own way. You know, learning to ground is just with visualization and intention. And then just getting out of your own way and stopping thinking is probably the hardest part for most people, to just let the information flow and not think, just feel.
Yeah, and you know, you often say you take the woo-woo of intuition, you know? What does that look like in practice?
Well, everybody wants to make this all mystical, and they want to be special and have gifts, and I think that's all a bunch of BS. Because we're all born with intuition, clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, and claircognizance. We're all born with all these skills. We shut them off in childhood. So it's just a matter of learning to turn them back on. And the other thing that's really important to me, and when I'm teaching this isn't woo-woo, you know, it's physics. everything in the universe is energy, frequency, and vibration. So that's really what takes the woo-woo out of it, is it's based in science. You know, we just have to tune in to the frequencies and vibrations so that we can get the information.
Yeah, and you know, you say that many people born with intuition. How do you help someone go from doubting to trusting their instincts?
It's pretty easy once you follow the steps. That's the thing. When I do groups and do group trainings, I can tell the second they've gotten ungrounded, because they're in a fear mode. And so all the energy goes out there. And then they try it and then they've got it. It's just amazing. When I do workshops, it's so fun because the morning is Q&A and we break for lunch. And in the afternoon, I pair people up and that fast they do readings for each other. It's that simple. It really is. And they get all spooked. They go, are we really doing this? I mean, yeah, you really are. Because it is that simple. And I just think it can really benefit people.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe sometimes that we're the ones who are doing that. And, you know, you connect intuition with physics and vibration. How does that scientific foundation shape the way that you teach?
Just using the techniques that are physics, energy, frequency, vibration. We have to just remember this isn't woo-woo. And the cool thing is that once you realize it's science that we're doing, it justifies it for a lot of people because, you know, they get all worried that, you know, oh, we're going to, you know, go places we shouldn't go and do things we shouldn't do. And it's not like that at all. It's just physics, really. I mean, if you realize everything is energy, it just changes your whole way of looking at not just Earth and our lives here, but the universe, the whole universe.
Yeah. And there's another book, The Intuitive Communication. Communicating with those who cannot. This book teaches caregivers and first responders the vital communication skills. What drove you to share techniques for connecting with nonverbal individuals?
Well, that's how I started with the first kid who was nonverbal. That was my start 35 years ago. And there's a podcast out now called The Telepathy Tapes. And Kai Dickens is a producer of it. She has absolutely proven that autistic people are telepathic. I mean, I want to go, well, no, duh, I've been doing it for 35 years. But this really opens the door to communicate with people in a coma, persistent vegetative state with severe Alzheimer's, dementia, strokes, traumatic brain injuries. They're still in there. You can still connect to them. And God forbid they pass, you can still connect to them. You know, the energy that is our soul or spirit exists forever, you know, and it's so healing when you can connect to people that have passed and know that they're still around you. So it's not just, you know, nonverbal autistic people or, you know, people that have had a traumatic brain injury and they have to learn everything all over again. You know, it just opens incredible possibilities for communication.
Yeah, and that must take courage and clarity. Like, how did you structure the book to guide readers from understanding theory to practicing the true communication?
Well, I do coach people. You know, if they're having trouble with it, then I'm happy to coach them. We just do a regular, you know, reading session, and I can coach them once they've read the book and studied it and started practicing. Then I can actually see them energetically over the phone. And we don't even have to do any kind of video thing. I mean, we can if we want to, but I can just see them energetically. What's so fun for me is when somebody does an energetic shift, when they've shifted their vibration, I can see it instantaneously. And I go, did you feel that? And they go, yeah. And I go, okay, you just ratcheted up a notch. You just increased your vibration. And they're going, how can you see that? They go, I don't know. It's just there. And it's what I'm tuned into is watching that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's another book also, The Physics of Mediumship. This book is pairing physics with mediumship. And how did you decide to explore the scientific side of spiritual communication.
Well, Abba, you know, there's so many mediums and even TV mediums that lack discernment. Discernment is the ability to tell the difference between positive and negative energy. We are 1% physical. We are 99% energy. When our physical form, the 1%, no longer functions and we pass, that 99% energetic part of us goes instantly to the other side. Well, the stuff that is not a vibrational match to source energy, which is the highest vibration in the universe that we're aware of, that low vibration stuff gets shed off and left behind in the earthly realm. Well, it looks like, feels like, and sounds like the deceased, but it's all their negativity. It's unfinished business. It's regrets. It's, you know, things that they wish they would have done and things they didn't accomplish, right? Well, if you don't have discernment and you're a medium, you can tune into that negative energy garbage and share that information as if it is how the person is on the other side. That's impossible. It's energetically impossible. So the negative energy is just garbage. When the mediums that are doing that and they're getting anything negative, like even how the person died, nobody on the other side knows how they died. That's negative. So all that negative energy gets left behind in the earthly realm. Well, if you don't have discernment, you're going to tune into that and share it as if it is how the person is. And it's hurtful. It's painful. It's disturbing to the loved ones that are left behind. When you're talking to people on the other side, it's just one big freaking party. They're happy. They don't even know how they died, you know? And so there's too many. And these people have shows, they have TV shows, and they're sharing this negative energy garbage as if it is truth. And it's not. It's just garbage. And so that's why I really wanted to make sure that people understand doing mediumship is just physics. There's no woo-woo to it. And there's certainly nothing negative about it. You know, if you get negative stuff, you're dumpster diving. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. And, you know, readers love to see a deeper blend of faith and fact. And how did writing this book shape your own understanding of, like, mediumship?
I don't think writing it changed too much, except it solidified what I wanted to get across. And I do a lot of channel writing. You know, it's not me writing. I can sit down at my computer and think, I need to write about this. And it's like my fingers just go and I don't even know what I'm typing. So I channel wrote a lot of it, which is really fun. And I just wanted to make it simple. You know, I'm a Nevada cowgirl. I'm out there shoveling manure every morning. You know, I'm really down to earth. And I can't do woo-woo. If I hadn't discovered physics early on in my exploration of all of these abilities, I couldn't do it. I just could not do it.
Yeah, and you mentioned you're juggle in writing, coaching sessions, and more. Like, how do you organize your day to balance all your creativity and intuitive work?
Well, if I'm not doing readings, if I don't have readings scheduled, I'm writing. That's really what it comes down to, because I'm trying to finish the dog communication book. And then once I get that done, I've got the horse communication book and the cat communication book. And then I've got two novels I'm working on that I'm going to turn into screenplays. Other than that, I just sit around eating bonbons.
And you also lead the Cowgirl Shaman Boot Camps. That how does guiding others in person influence the themes and examples you include in the books?
Oh God, that's just so fun. And I think the biggest thing is that most people are doing this stuff anyway. They're using their intuitive abilities, but they're just not trusting it. You know, and when you can really reinforce that, yes, you really are doing this, and yes, it's real and it's not woo-woo, and encourage them to embrace their own abilities, it's life-changing for them, and I love it. I have so many clients that I've trained that actually now do this for a living, and I love it. I'm their biggest supporter. It's just great.
You know, and there's also a question that what's the most like common mindset block people bring into intuition training, and how do you guide them forward?
The biggest thing I would say would be getting out of their own way. You know, people, you know, it's like, use your brain, use your, you know, thought, use your thoughts. You have to think about this. And this is the opposite. It's like, don't think, just feel, go into feel mode. I think that's a big obstacle for a lot of people. And they'll get into feel mode and just really be getting really good stuff. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, am I really doing this? And it's like, they got to reground. They got to line themselves up again, you know, and just start over again. But we encourage them and they can get it done.
Yeah. And I saw like your clients say, like, literally you save pets' lives. Do you have a story that stay with you?
Oh, there's so many. I just talked to a client today and she wanted to check back in with her horse because her horse, I think last year, had an injury. And she said he's done. It was a barrel horse. I don't know if you're about barrel racing, but it's very lucrative if you're in the upper echelons of it. You can make a lot of money. And she was just ready to throw in the towel. And I said, no, you have to do this. And I gave her guidance on what to do in order to make the horse sound again. And she just told me last fall she won over $10,000 on this horse. Wow. So if she hadn't called me, listened to me, and actually done what I recommended, the horse would be very, very much be a cripple and maybe even having to be put down. So we just checked back in with him today and he's just full of piss and vinegar. He's just having a blast barrel racing. So yeah. That's one. One of the other funny ones I think about is this gal who called me and she's hysterically crying. And she says, my dog has lumps. I'm afraid he has cancer. And I said, oh, no, those are fatty tumors. She went, what? I said, oh, those are just fatty tumors. I said, go get him checked. I said, they'll do a little, you know, needle biopsy on him and they'll put it on a slide and you'll see it'll be all slimy. It's all fatty. It's not cancer. I said, no. And of course, you know, she was so relieved because she took the dog in and had the tests done, and they were just fatty tumors. It's just no big deal.
Yeah. So, well,
that stuff happens every day. I mean, I can't keep track of it. I really can't. I can't keep track of it.
But that's amazing. You leave this, you know, peace to the clients to know that, okay, probably sometimes we're making a huge thing, and it's not that huge.
Right. The other thing, too, which I really help a lot with, is people that either have to make the decision to euthanize, which is so heartbreaking. And the other thing is they have to euthanize a dog and they go out right away and get another dog. And the new dog starts acting like the old dog and it really spooks them. And I have to explain to them that's a walk-in. It's when the spirit of the one that has passed walks into whatever puppy body you bring home. I don't know what happens to the spirit that's already in there. I think they just share beautifully. But we always get our animal spirits back if we provide a vehicle, meaning a dog or cat body or horse body, and they always come back. So they try to stay with us forever. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And it heals your heart, too. Alba, it heals your freaking heart. Oh, my goodness. It just feels so good when you get them back.
Yeah. It's like, sometimes you don't want them to be replaced, you know, because you love them a lot. And you think, okay, I'm replacing this dog with another dog or an pet.
No.
But it's not in that way, right?
No, it's not that at all. It's providing a vehicle for their spirit to come back. Again, we and they are only 1% physical. We're 99% energy. So the energy can move around. I had a weird one happen to me where my friend Linda, who died, walked into my horse. My horse changed overnight and all of a sudden started doing zippers and Velcro and giving facials. You know, it's a slime facial, but, you know, she changed overnight. And that was really weird. And then I just kept sensing Linda out there. And, of course, when Duchess started doing all this weird stuff, I could just hear her cackling because she had one of those laughs. It was like a cackle. And I said, "You stinker! What did you do?" Isn't that fun?
Yeah, and you. I also have like a question. If someone's it's hearing about the cowgirl shaman for the first time today, what's one thing you hope they live with?
I would say go check it out. I have an extensive press kit on my website. And there's all kinds of videos and podcasts and testimonials. And go look about it. Go investigate it. And, you know, if you're interested, any one of the books will help you. If you're a caregiver or a special education teacher or a first responder, then get the book Intuitive Communication. If you just want to know generally how all this works, then get the Cowgirl Shaman book. And if you really want to communicate with loved ones that you've lost, then the physics of mediumship is your best bet. But ironically, the method how to do this is the same in all three books. It's still the same.
Yeah. And looking ahead, I know that you mentioned that you're writing, but are there any new books, programs, or media appearances that you have coming soon?
I'm working very hard at developing my own television show. I'm pitching it extensively through Stage 32, which is a website for writers. So it's been kind of a challenge because I'm pitching unscripted. The other thing that I'm doing is trying to develop a YouTube show because I'm not patient. So I figure if I do a YouTube show, I'll get a show faster than if I have to wait till those guys get going.
Yeah, and finally, for anyone inspired by your approach, where can listeners explore your book, readers, and intuitive trainings?
I'm on my website. It's just my name, TerriJay.com, and that's my website. And I'm really proud of my website. It's really good. You can buy the books. You can sign up for regular readings, and I'm cheap. I'm only 50 and 90 half hour. And I've had people go, "Oh, you need to charge more." I'm like, no, because I've got a lot of horse poor clients that would never be able to afford it if I raise my rates. And I want to be able to help everybody. And then you can also sign up for training. There's training packages on there too.
That's awesome. Terry, it has been a pleasure to have you on Authors Radio. Thank you for giving us a glimpse into your work and sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check her books. Thank you for tuning in to Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. And join me next time for another inspiring conversation. In the meantime, happy listening.